Behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. What do we do with that? What do we do? That seems harsh to me. I don't know, if I was Peter, I'd say, but I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I want you to be whole and happy. We don't want our loved ones to be in a harm way. But I think today as we gather, we need to understand and take time to dig into this tough teaching. Because if we all only look at the things that are easy and fluffy and light, we will not grow as disciples of Christ. If we don't understand what it means to deny ourselves and take up the cross, we will not be able to follow our Lord into the kingdom of God. And make no mistakes, my friends. Jesus tells us he will come again. He will gather us, those that have chosen him as their Lord and Savior. But remember what we said last week. Just calling Jesus Lord and Savior is not enough. We really have to change our lives, and we have to reflect him as our Lord and Savior in the decisions we make, the things we say, and everything we do, not just the words. And so it is important to hear what Jesus says. Set your mind on the divine, not on the physical. But okay, what does that mean for us today? Let us pray before we dig into this, because it's a hard teaching, denying ourselves, suffering. Let's pray as we ask God to help us understand. Holy and gracious Lord, we know you love us. We know you came to this earth for the forgiveness of our sins, but we don't understand all the things that Jesus has taught us. We don't understand what it means to deny ourselves. It's too hard, but come, Holy Spirit, come and enter each person here and online and in person. Help us to receive what it means to deny ourselves right where we are, because you speak to each one of us individually. Help us to follow our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So basically, Jesus is contrasting two things: God's way versus human way of doing things. I think as followers of Christ, you'd agree with me that we need to put God first in our lives, right? That the things that Jesus says, they're important, that we need to follow them. They're not just, okay, if you want to. They're commands. So it's important to understand that. But I think we need to be honest. I think we need to really reflect our check and examine ourselves, our lives, to see if we're really doing that. So think about that. Think about your normal day. When you wake up to when you go to bed, don't we have practical things we got to get done? We got to get the breakfast done, and the kids soon, you're going to be packing for school. You're going to be doing that homework. You got to make sure you're on time for work, for the bus. I mean, these things are important. And so we plan our day. And we make sure that we get these things done. But my friends, what happens too often, and I don't know about you, I'm just talking about myself, and I have to make an effort to not do things that way. How many times you just get into your routine and doing things, and then God is not always first in your thought, right? I mean, yeah, we pray, and we might start with a devotion, but okay, what, half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night, that's an hour, all right? And then 8 hours of sleep, for those of us that are lucky, 8 hours of sleep, what does that leave you, 16, 17, 15 to 17 hours, depending on how much sleep you get? That's not all that time. Do we really focus on what God wants, and do we put him first? Or let's face it, or do we seek and just go about our routine and doing the things that we need to do, right? So, truthfully speaking, God is not always first and foremost, confession, in my life. But I'm trying to do better, and I have done better from the moment that I encountered Jesus to now. And I think now I do better. I do try to do better. But the reality is I'm still human. And like Peter, who loved Jesus, who was ready to follow Jesus to the death, but even he got all turned around. I get all turned around. And the question for us today is, where are we facing? Are we facing and doing things in our life that seeks God's perspective? Or are we facing and doing things that our world teaches us, that our culture teaches us? Where are we facing? Peter was facing the wrong direction. You and I need to turn around and face our Lord. We need to remember that God's perspective is much higher than our thinking. So even when we struggle with this, as Peter did, right? As we struggle with the things Jesus teaches us, we have to remember Isaiah 55, verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, God tells us, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So my friends, let us not focus on our thoughts. Let us not seek the experts of this world as to how we're going to do things. Amen. Let's turn ourselves back, reorient ourselves back to Jesus, even in the tough things, so that when he says, deny yourself and carry your cross, that we don't cringe. We don't say, no, I can't do that. That we stay there. We stay in the struggle. We're able to stay with God in that Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus, when he struggled in the suffering, he cried tears. He said, God, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Take the suffering from me, but your will, not my will, be done. He said that because he knew what was coming after. He said that because he knew that his going to the cross, his denying himself, would mean salvation for you and I. Because there was a big block preventing us, you and I, from entering to God's presence. And that's sin, my friends. And so Jesus denied himself and he went to the cross to remove the sin that prevents you and I from reconnecting with God, from being charged up with his power. And as Christopher said, what did he say, right? The power, the connection, that you and I don't miss that. That we don't miss that true life that he wants to give us. What about us, my friends? Think about it. Has God ever asked you to deny yourself and do something for him? Something that might be uncomfortable? And that might mean sacrifice? Today, as we come before our Lord, know that he sees our hearts. He doesn't just hear our words. No. He sees our hearts. And he knows that if we truly claim him as our Lord and Savior, that our actions need to follow suit. So on this Labor Day weekend, we celebrate all those who labor, right? We celebrate those who work. But what about the work, the labor that we are called to do as followers of Christ for the kingdom of God, for things divine, not earthly? Now, I just need to put a disclaimer in here. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to enjoy life. I'm not saying that God does not want you to have enjoy time with your family and receive the gifts of this earthly life. He does. But when those earthly needs, when our family, when our career, when success, when making money, when all those things take over and they become first in our lives, that's where sin enters in, and that's where we miss our purpose. So my friends, think for a moment when you first accepted Christ to now. Is there a change in your life? Has there been a denial of the way you live and a seeking rather of the way God wants you to live and live the purpose we have? You know our purpose, right? Jesus tells us in the commission, Matthew 28, 18-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you till the end of the age. So, what does it mean to connect our purpose and the denial? Well, it means that we cannot be focused on our own needs. We have to be focused on this mission of telling others about Jesus, about making disciples. That's what it means, taking up our cross. You know, when we joined the church, when we became members, when we were baptized, our parents made this vow. When we were confirmed, we then made the vow. Or if you joined the church by becoming a member, you then made this vow. And every time someone joins our church, together as a church, we reaffirm those vows that say we are going to support the mission of Christ with our prayers, our presence, and our time. My friends, you and I have to deny the way, the path of comfort, and instead to seek the way of God's purpose in this church. And I want to take a moment to talk about these things that we say we're going to do, denying our natural inclination to get behind Christ and the purpose that he's given to us. Just think for a moment. The creator of all universe has invited you to work for him? Wow. You know, so earthly speaking, you know, now my kid's in college, and of course, you know what? I'm still in this human world. So I'm also thinking about his career and life. And so I will tell you that if he gets recruited by a big name company, you know what? That's something that I'm going to be happy about. That's something that I'm going to hope for him. So if I get that excited about, and I'm not going to throw out any big company names because you know what? That's not what this is about. But if I can get happy about being recruited, my son being recruited by a well-known, big-known company, a respected company, shouldn't we be more excited about being recruited by the God of all universe? Amen. Think about it. The one who is in charge of everything has chosen you and I to be part of his work. It's beyond my understanding that he would choose me to be part of that. I could sit here and list all my faults, but I'm not going to do that because we don't have enough time. If you want to know, just ask my kid, ask my husband. You and I have faults. We have sin that prevents us from living the purpose. But my friends, when we turn back to human way of doing things and turn back to Christ and give him time, our talents, our gifts, he will use them to make a difference. But it will mean to deny yourself. Here's what I mean by that. Time. Let's start with that. It will mean to deny the time that you might ordinarily spend in doing things that give you pleasure. Denying time to maybe go out. And, you know, I've heard so many times people say, you know, Sunday is my only day to spend with my family. Sunday is my day to rest, to sleep, to catch up. I get that and I understand that because that's a physical thing. But my friends, if God indeed is first, our time has to be spent on worshiping him. If not a Sunday, that's fine. We might make time on a Saturday. We might, that's where the Catholic Church, you know, I admire their different offerings of time. We might get there one day when we grow in numbers. That's a hope. But my friends, it's important to make time to worship. It's important to make time for the mission that Christ has given to us to make disciples. So if we don't deny ourselves and seek after using our time the way we want, we will miss the work in God's kingdom. So consider the time that you spend. If you're not sure, just look at your schedule in a day, in a week. Where do you spend most of your time? If it's not seeking after God, if it's not putting him first, then you might want to rethink if we're truly a disciple of Christ, if we're truly following Christ. So that's time. Talents, our gifts. Consider where you employ your gifts. Each one of us has a different gift. I've said this over and over. I wish I could sing and have some musical ability, but that's not my gift, so I'm not meant to use that. But some of you do. Some of you have the gift of creativity. Some of you have the gift of teaching. Some of you have the gift of serving. Some of you have the gift of administration. You know, there's a list in the Bible about the different gifts. All of you, all of us have a particular gift that God has given to us in the first place for the use of the purpose of making disciples. Consider how you're using your gift and your talent. Is it for God's purpose? Because if you're using that gift to bring pleasure and fulfill your own desires, and then you're seeking after your pleasure. That's as simple as that. But if you're seeking to use your gift and giving it to God and saying, all right, God, what do you want me to do with this gift you've given me? That, my friends, is what Jesus is telling us to do, using our gifts for his purpose. Denying our first inclination to do things and follow our path, but instead of seeking God. Money, treasure, time, talents, and tithes. That's also what we promise. And we don't talk much about money. And each one of us is in a different place. And God knows it. We're not all given the same way. We all have different gifts of time, talent, and gifts. Matt, I'm going to ask you to go because we can hear you. Thank you. If you could take the call outside. Here's the thing. When we give our money according to what God has given us for his work in this world, what happens is that we receive much more in return. And I'm not just talking monetarily. How many of you have served in the different mission in the food pantry? How many of you have been a part of ministry and mission? And we used to do something called Midnight Run. We went out into New York City giving out clothes. You know, how many of you have participated in mission and received much more than you gave? Amen. That's how it works. See, when you give back to God what belongs to him in the first place, you receive much more in return. So my friends, we have to remember that we can't follow, we can't be turned to the way that the world does things. We cannot do things that way, because if we do, we're going to be all turned around and we're going to be following the enemy. I mean, did you hear Jesus? He told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." My friends, we have to be very careful that if we're not seeking God's way of doing things and keeping the promises we made when we became disciples, we are following the enemy. There is no gray. There is no in-between, my friends. Jesus tells us clearly that he's going to come again. And in Revelation, if you want to read more about that time, we read that for those that are lukewarm, I will spit you out. We do not want to be lukewarm. We don't want to be those ones that say that Jesus said, "You called me Lord and Lord, and then you did things your way." We don't want to be those, because in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, God has to be first. No compromise. There cannot be any other Lord besides Jesus in our lives. And so I invite you to consider the promises you made, my friends, when you joined the church. And it's not a scare tactic, right? Because God loves us so much that he keeps giving us a chance over and over again to turn back to him, to do it right. And so I pray, my friends, that we would relook at our lives, examine our lives, and see where we need to deny ourselves and keep the promise of following Christ and keep those vows we made when we joined this church, God's church, not our church, when we joined in following Jesus of making disciples. So I pray that when we consider our time, we consider what we're going to do in the week, when we consider how we're going to use the gifts that God has given us, when we consider what we're going to do with the money, that our first inclination is not to seek after our own pleasures, our own needs, but our first inclination is go to God and say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do now with what you've given me?" And get ready, my friends. When you do it, life will change. You will find a purpose. You will find peace. So even when troubles come, and troubles will come, trust me, but you will be able to withstand all the storms, because you'll be standing on the solid ground of Christ. Amen. Amen.